This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I thought you weren't mad last night. Now you're mad.
Yeah, I was mad.
Oh, maybe you were mad and I just read it differently. You were mad that when you tweeted that? The giveaway game?
Yeah, I don't like giving away playoff games in a best of seven when you get to the ALCS. And it felt like yesterday was just a total giveaway game.
I beg your pardon. Okay, continue. On what you were saying, because I when you said total giveaway game, I was like, oh, he's just kind of like, it's fine.
No, it's not fine at all. I mean, obviously they can come back, even up the series tonight. They've gone up against the best pitcher in baseball and won in a deciding game. So I mean, is it out of the realm of possibility they could
obviously go up
against Garrett Cole and win? Obviously they can, but a little nervous with their state of affairs, and I think most people probably are in that boat. That's the beauty and the curse of postseason baseball. But yesterday, that Little League stuff that was happening in the third inning was a total joke. It was a total joke. It sucked. It felt like the Yankees didn't earn any of that. And that was after their Little League home run. We had a Little League home run. We had a in their Little League stadium. And you had Little League antics lead to a few runs there in the third. It was terrible.
Yeah. There's no other way to say it. I thought that, you know, you go with Joey Cantillo in that moment. First off, you left Alex Cobb out too long. This is, the arm's not there. The fingers aren't there. He can't pitch without hurting a finger.
Well, he has all five fingers, I think.
Well, the fingers are there. The fingers are there. Armando Benitez had 11.
Yes. It was a hip thing, though, last night.
Okay, that's enough. We've seen enough. Can we get, now how does this work? Can we get Ben Lively on the roster and deactivate him?
Only if he is injured, I believe.
All right, that's enough of this trying to get Alex Cobb thing going. Obviously no more now. I mean, but you left him out there for another one, which was too long. When the trainers came out, I just thought that was it. And then they left him out there, and then Joey Cantillo, the look of relief on the strikeout that Joey Cantillo had, it was like, you can't put him back out there. And then you put him back out there. So I'm thinking, did you expect it to not go this way? Like, was this almost, I don't know why you would schedule a loss. It feels almost like you scheduled a loss to get to Garrett Cole tonight with Tanner Bibee. Like, you have a better chance with Tanner Bibee, obviously, than what you had going last night. I get that. But it almost felt like you scheduled the loss. But at the same time, it's like, okay, Vogt didn't make him go out there and throw the ball in the dirt. So we didn't make him do that. Vogt didn't go out there and make Bo Naylor do a bad job blocking. He didn't do that. Vogt didn't go out there and make Joey Cantillo not cover home on the pass ball. All those things are absolutely true. But to leave him out there, it got out of hand. It was just a game that once they got to 4-0, that was it. And then you make it 4-1, and then it was 5-2, and then that was the end of the ball game. Like, there's so much. There's so many things that you have to look at and say, these things worked for him, Stephen Vogt, in long swaths of time during the regular season. These things don't tend to work in the postseason. The aggressiveness of the play. All right, well, you have Josh Naylor who's just, and I'm sure he's going to draw the ire of everybody today. Yeah, Josh Naylor's just up there swinging at anything. Josh Naylor looks like he's trying to get through the at-bat as fast as possible. And you are a team right now, you don't hit the amount of home runs that, and you probably never will, hit the amount of home runs that the Yankees hit. They're always going to be able to go out and procure the boppers. What the Yankees also do is they draw walks. And so they sit on these pitches and they're able to bop them. You've been a very aggressive team, but you're not a home run team. So if you're going to more manufacture runs, then you have to be a little bit more selective at the plate. And I don't think I'm asking the world of Josh Naylor to just, can we let one go by? Can we look at one? I know you don't want to get shortchanged. I know you want to get your money's worth. Can we watch one? Is there any such thing as working a counter? Is that going to be impossible, Tone? What can we do here? Because it's he's swinging out of his shoes on every pitch. The helmet's all over the place. He looks lost. His brother looks lost behind the plate. I mean, I'd rather just have Austin Hedges out there for the defense. I understand that it's nobody's priority to have the guy actually hit in the postseason, but I'd rather just have him out there for the defense because Bo Naylor can't play the defense. He can't call a game. So
he can't play defense. Right now, he can't really play offense.
No.
Is he there for special teams?
Well, I mean, if you're going to go ahead and lose, you'd rather have him hitting for you, but there's... I know you're making a joke, but I'm trying to get something figured out there because, like, it's been one game. The sky isn't falling, but I got Tanner Bibee. Okay, he's great. He's going up against Garrett Cole, who's really, really great. And I think that this is the lack, and I'm looking for a lot of answers here. And it shows you last night the uphill battle that we have. Not that you're out of the series, not that it's a problem. It's an uphill battle that you have right now because it's a team that. If you make any mistake, they look like they're going to make you pay. Whether it be, 93 over the middle on Giancarlo Stanton, whether it be pitching to Juan Soto with Alex Cobb, who I did not realize Juan Soto was that good up until going into the game, how good he was against Alex Cobb. Like, if you make any mistake at all, they're going to really make you pay. And for you, your margin of error is so slim. And so I start thinking desperate things. Like I wrote down last night, I said, well, gosh, if they just had Shane Bieber, I go, well, they might not even have Shane Bieber. If Shane Bieber were healthy, he might have been traded halfway through the year. And then we might not even be here. So there's so many different ways to play this that I can't say it would work one way or the other. It's just there's a couple of things that are apparent. One, you're taking wild swings at too many things. Two, you are at a, and I can't stand Aaron Boone, you are at a managerial deficit here. The things that made Steven Vogt a great regular season manager, I think, are costing you a bit here in the postseason.
Which is what?
Situational decisions. And it's easy to second guess. Baseball's the easiest game to second guess in. But the managerial decisions of, boy, you just always seem to be a batter ahead or a batter behind. You never seem to hit the right mark when it comes to bringing in new pitchers. You never seem to be able to do that. Because, again, it becomes that much more important because your margin for error is that much slimmer than anybody else's. Like the Yankees, they get to go through everything that they wanted to do. Like reading up about the Yankees all throughout the year, it's like, okay, they want to get to Hill, which Hill ended up being a mess for them yesterday, but they want to get to Hughes, they want to be able to get to, or Holmes, they want to be able to get to their closer Weaver. Like that's what they want to be able to do, and they were able to do that last night. Except, it was a 5-out close for him. And the only good thing is maybe you got to see him. And you get a little bit of experience with him.
I will say the one thing.
Like, there's some good things to take out of the loss, but it's not very good.
Well, the good thing to me is that you didn't go through your relievers. Your big-time guys are now rested and are ready to go tonight.
Thanks to Pedro Avila.
He was fantastic. And if you get a lead tonight, well, the whole thing changes. I mean, the whole thing changes like that. And... in-game betters, I mean, you feel really good about the Guardians at that stage. And then you earn the split, you come home, and people are going nuts. And we are heading towards what could be a fantastic weekend in Cleveland. But to get there, man, they just, the approach, I do think they were pressing. I know the Jose Ramirez stuff is going to come up again.
You can bring it up this time. I'm not saying a damn word about him.
That's the thing. Again, people are putting up his career postseason numbers, and I thought we were out of that with one big swing of the bat in the last series against Detroit, but clearly that didn't do enough. That didn't mean enough. He's going to have to come through in a big way, and really, when you look at their lineup, I mean, yeah, they need Jose Ramirez. All right, can they beat the Yankees with Jose? And he had a couple of hard-hit balls yesterday, but... He hit it right at him. Unfortunately, just not coming through. They can't really win the series unless Jose Ramirez starts hitting.
216-474-0092. And I think that is, again, I risk this knowing that our boss is going to clip up a video that's going to get me killed online. But either way, it puts almost an undue amount of pressure on Jose. I think that this is where... I'm so thankful. You're shaking your head over there, Owen. I'm not sure if... it's not about... Okay. With Jose, we are so thankful to him to stay. And we are so thankful for him to take a discount. However, when we get into the postseason, it puts almost an unrealistic amount of pressure on him. You know, Aaron Judge, they can be critical of Aaron Judge. I mean, you got Juan Soto hitting around you. You got Giancarlo Stanton hitting around you. You know, Zach Meisel said it himself, it's a top-heavy lineup. Like, if Aaron Judge goes out there and fans on three straight pitches, probably going to be all right. You know what I mean? In the grand scheme of things. If Jose Ramirez goes up there and he fans on three straight pitches, it is not just bad for that inning, it's bad for the next inning as well. Like it's almost too much because I got him, but I can't count on anybody else around him. And the only other person that I can really, really count on, I can count on Kwan. I could count on Fry, even though I don't know how much he's going to actually play for the rest of this series now. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I can count on Brian Rocchio. He is Mr. October for us. That's as good as it gets. He's been fantastic.
I was going to ask, was that
base running yesterday, that was on purpose.
Was there a body swap of some sort where
I don't know.
He became Jose Ramirez and Jose Ramirez became Brian Rocchio?
And if you think I'm making an excuse for Jose Ramirez, that's fine. I'm not saying you are. I'm talking to the listeners. If you think I'm making an excuse for Jose Ramirez, that's fine. I'm just telling you guys the truth. It's Jose, then it's Lane Thomas, who has been a nice addition. We can say that now, ever since September. And then there's Josh Naylor, who nobody out there has any faith in whatsoever. Then there's John Kenzie Noel, who will probably be a pinch hitter here very, very shortly. Then there's Kyle Manzardo and Daniel Schneeman, who have no experience whatsoever. Then there's Bo Naylor, where he might have a better chance getting a hit without a bat up there in the batter's box. Andrés Giménez has been timid at the plate except for one at bat, which thank God it was game five. So there's just so much pressure on Jose as to where I look at the other side. Giancarlo Stanton, if he strikes out, all right, then you got Jazz Chisholm behind you. You know, you got Anthony Rizzo, who's batting eighth or seventh in this lineup.
Like, no, it's, but what changes,
or eighth in this lineup, it's tough.
What changes their whole lineup is Stanton all of a sudden coming alive. He's been terrible for 2 years, really for 2.5 years for the Yankees. And he's been one of their most criticized players, and he has come alive in the playoffs. And if he is playing like that, as he's as dialed in as he's been in a while, they're going to be really tough to beat. We say all that, and we analyze all that. I really just think that game, the wind was out of their sails with that disastrous Little League inning. I mean, we can break all this other stuff down, and I don't even disagree with anything you just said, but that third inning was just a circus, and it just bothers me to no end. That you had a game of that magnitude and you got kids basically throwing the ball around. Like, it just can't happen with a game in that scale.
216-474-0092. I understand it. That part's frustrating. It's still, I mean, tonight, do you think tonight is already the series?
Here's the thing. It took all that pressure. We said it, the pressure's on the Yankees. The pressure's on the Yankees. That inning took all that pressure away. And then it was squarely on us all of a sudden because we're sitting there flailing away. We're sitting there with the bat at bats. We're sitting there not disciplined. And yeah, you're right. Thank God. Thank God for Rocchio. But outside of that, I mean, what did you have? What were you confident in last night?
Not much. Not much. 216-474-0092. Dan in Cleveland. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, guys, it's bonus time. I mean, if you look at lineup per lineup, we are severely outmatched. I'm actually delivering to the ballpark. I'm going to the ballpark. Yep.
That's all you have to say? You get right in?
No, look. So,
hey, ballpark. Yep, ballpark. Okay.
You know, by the way, they have the worst toilet paper for the drivers down here. Just a side note.
Well, now, hold on here. That's reckless.
Their workers go, hey.
Hey, you're here for the White House. White House, let me in.
Dan, go ahead. What were you going to say about the Guardians, buddy?
No, look, I'm not going to complain about the owners. It's a bonus season. We shouldn't even be here. But we were up at the deadline. We made no batting moves. If you go down the Yankees roster and our roster lineup, we only have one advantage, and that's the leadoff spot. Every hitter is better than our hitter. And Kwan might, you know, have a slight edge, but that's it. It's next year. This is the same thing as 2016. Next year, we'll in the offseason, we'll get probably one or two free agents, and you know, I figured this back in July. We'd make, you know, divisional series. That's about it.
You already beat me to this, Dan. Thank you very much for the call.
We're not punting on the series.
No,
it's
it puts a hell of a lot of pressure on tonight, because if they come back and it's an 0-2 deficit getting ready for Thursday, you know there's going to be a lot more calls like that.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
I just told Ken this off the air, so might as well bring it on the air. I can't imagine getting on the keyboard or calling the radio show to inform anybody who's talking about the game. Guys, seven-game series. I didn't know that. I thought they were eliminated last night. I thought it was a wild card game, and they're done.
Well, they don't want you to act like they're eliminated.
Nobody is. I didn't think you were. We had a caller saying, oh, we're just lucky to be here. Look at the line. It's like, we're not doing that. In fact, we're saying, and we even brought up the fact that you didn't go through your pitchers last night. That is one bonus. You didn't go through your relievers last night.
Why even do a sports talk show if you're going to go seven-game series, guys? There we go, into the show.
Honestly, if you want me to really do the diagnosis, the people are sitting there going, guys, it's a seven-game series. You feel worse than we do, and you are trying to get us to talk you into thinking it's a seven-game series because you already think the series is over.
Oh, you think it's projection?
Yes. Yes. Guys, it's a seven-game series.
Let me just hit this. Well,
I can't get in your head, but
reckless speculation.
Yeah, nobody here thinks the series is over. And like we said, you defeated a better pitcher in an elimination game a few days ago. Okay, wasn't that long ago? We fully understand how baseball works.
I don't think the Tigers are a better team overall than the Yankees, but they were definitely the hottest team since September 1st.
Yeah.
And, you know, that baseball does that a lot. Now we're into the part of the season or into the part of the playoffs now where we start to get back to the better rosters prevail, right?
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. Now, the one thing that made me nervous about yesterday was that Yankee stage that our fans do not want to hear about. They're sick and tired anytime they even allude to it. And I thought the broadcast was really good last night. Even in a loss, I know we tend to hate the broadcasters when we lose. I think there was the one thing I didn't understand was Brian Anderson, right?
Who's calling the game?
Yeah. He was talking about, well, who would they recognize walking down whatever street?
Well,
that's stupid. Obviously, Jose Ramirez is pretty damn popular here in Cleveland. But yeah, he's an underrated player. And if he walked the streets of New York, I don't know. If they're such a great baseball city, they sure as hell should know who Jose Ramirez is.
It's also not a fair comparison when Aaron Judge is, you know, 6'7", right. And like,
yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, he is like 6'7" or 6'8".
He's obviously a giant. Like,
no matter where he's at,
he's one of the biggest dudes ever in baseball.
Aaron Judge walks into an NBA symposium, then maybe he doesn't stick out.
Yeah,
so boy, is he huge.
So that was the only thing
that
annoyed me. But I felt like the stage was too big for some of the guys. So hopefully now getting another shot at it. I hope that's the case, but I also think those guys look at the veterans, and who are your veterans? Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor at this stage, and he's someone who has delivered in this stadium before. So that's why I'm not giving up at all. I just didn't like seeing that. Meanwhile, we had Cantillo, it was just, like I said, it was a total circus that inning. He comes in, can't locate. Naylor can't get down and stop the ball. I don't know who was a bigger problem. I mean, probably you'd say the pitcher because, you know, just throw normal strikes.
Well, he's the one throwing him in the dirt.
But you know what? That's why you have a catcher is supposed to stop the damn ball.
No,
you're supposed to block
that.
The plate. Guys take
pride.
They
call them catchers, not stoppers, Tone. So,
well, if he could have just gotten down and done it, and that's why
I
feel so miserable about the way that unfolded, is because I just don't think the Yankees earned much of that last night. Here's Cantillo on taking the blame.
I wasn't very sharp. Obviously, fell behind on guys, you know, regardless of the situation at the Cobb. Competed his butt off. You know, that was a spot you look to be ready for. I didn't execute pitches, and the control obviously was not there. You just got to be better next time. That performance was obviously the difference in the game. So that's on me.
I mean, he was rattled and couldn't stop the bleeding. And so you're giving him that cushion. And
yeah, he's probably not rattled, though, if his catcher stops the ball a few times. I mean, it is the catcher's
job. Catcher's rattled, too.
Yeah, the catcher's very rattled. It's the playoffs, and I get that, but you're so... reason for being behind the plate is to not let it go past you. no matter what it takes to do.
You're not wrong. If you just keep talking, I'm going to get really frustrated, and then I'm going
to
blow a
gasket. That's what I'm trying to do here.
And it's a 7-game series, guys. It's a 7-game series, so I can't be blowing gaskets.
It's still 7?
It's not 1.5. It's 7.
Thanks for showing up today.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Very welcome.
Now, here's the question. Are you going with Hedges? How much are you going with Hedges? Like, how are you?
Till the end of time.
How are you forecasting this the rest of the way?
I need him in there for defense and leadership. I don't think that Bo Naylor inspires anything as in far as confidence with my pitching staff. Tell me I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll be wrong. That's fine. But one guy inspires confidence with the pitch. Did you not see I'm not yelling at you here. Did people not see Emmanuel Clase? I mean, everybody agrees with me, so what's the point of me arguing? But did we not see Emmanuel Clase in the last two games with Austin Hedges behind the plate?
Yeah.
It's different.
And I don't
trust him.
I mean, truth be told, do you care lefty righty in this situation? When it comes to the
bats?
Well,
they do. Okay, apparently Stephen Vogt does. Holy Toledo.
I mean, Garrett Cole.
We're putting Will Brennan in there with nobody on and two out, what, just because it's a lefty righty matchup? Awesome.
Well, I know what they're thinking is Hedges is going to be an automatic out, you know, against the righties, but and you're going up, what, against three straight righties now?
That's another thing.
You know who else is an automatic out right now? Bo Naylor.
Bo Naylor.
And not only that, you could say, well, maybe he's the more athletic guy and he gets on base and runs. He hasn't even gotten on base yet this postseason.
Has Austin Hedges shown calmer leadership than Stephen Vogt? These are things that I might say tomorrow, but I'm not going to say now.
Well, let me ask you.
Very close in comparison.
We've got, that's the one time this could benefit the show, so we should just let the Yankee fans tell us who they are more scared of, Bo Naylor or Hedges.
Don't put him on the microphone. That's just going to make the day worse. I've avoided him as best I can. I've been short with him. Don't put him on the microphone.
Yay. Enough of that.
Meanwhile, here is Stephen Vogt. We talked about the walks that the Yankees always draw. An absurd amount in that series against Kansas City. And an absurd amount this year was the highest total since 2010. Here's Vogt on the Yanks' discipline.
You know, we talked about this before the series started. These guys work the count. They don't chase a whole lot. And if I take something away from tonight, we just need to attack the zone better. And we didn't tonight, and they made us work.
Do you think it's just a matter of having another game now? They can settle down a little bit. You feel better because you got Bibee on the hill, and you got your relievers.
I do think that can help. Because you get any more experience helps people get settled in. And no matter what their surroundings are, it's the human element. So, yes, it does make me feel better. We'll find out tonight, but yeah.
All right, quick note. It looks like Kevin Stefanski, your head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Poof, this one was met with a lot of opinions around the country, not just here in Cleveland. Looks like he is sticking with his guy, number 4.
I think it's just important that we continue to do everything we can to play good, sound football. I think Deshaun gives us the best chance to win, continues to give us the best chance to win. We need to play really good offensive football at his position and really at every position to be successful on Sunday.
We are 6 weeks in, and we are back to the gives us the best chance to win.
It's a 17-game season.
It is. Guys, listen, 17 games. Whole bunch of games.
They're still out there, man.
They're not mathematically eliminated.
They're still out there.
They're still out there. This old Watson thing. There's 11 games left, guys. We can turn it around.
Nah, man. They're still out there. I still get people in my mentions. Ken, you don't know ball. Okay. All right. Give him a 7th game. Then give him an 8th game. And if that doesn't work, maybe give him a 9th game.
Is that a good weed
maybe
out?
Maybe give him a 10th game.
If there's anybody that thinks Watson...
he'll need another game.
Watson has been good this year.
If that doesn't work out, give him a 12th game.
Isn't that a perfect weed out? Remember, they used to have weed out classes in college.
It's always someone else's fault.
A weed out class in college would be something that you could pretty much separate the pretenders, the people that shouldn't be there. So they give you a hard class sometimes.
Yep.
If anybody says Watson's playing well, pretty good weed out.
I heard it on the postgame show on Sunday. People calling in going, this isn't on Watson. This is on X, Y, and Z, and it's the offensive line is the first one they come to. Those people can't seriously call in and go, he's been good.
No.
Right?
No, you could say
they can't say. You can say it's on other people, but you can't say he's been good.
No.
Can you say, I mean, some of it is on other people, but you can't sit there and
Did you think he was good in the second half when he was 11-12? I didn't. He made one nice throw Well, he threaded the needle. It was a great throw, but it was a third down throw.
What was the yards per?
But yeah, the depth of target, it's not football in 2024. Defenses would love you to try to sustain drives with 13 plays and dink and dunk and screens. Defenses would love it because you know what? You're not going to score points. They didn't score points.
My bad. Coming up at 7. So we got to yell at him every time it goes poorly for the quarterback?
I think you yell them all.
Okay.
You have to limit it.
Okay. Like, I'm making sure of it because it's like, you know, I think people are drawing sides. We'll get back to the Guardians coming up here shortly, but there's people drawing sides, and it's like, well, if this continues to go this way, everybody's going to go. Yeah, they'll just start fresh because the more times you play him, the more obvious it is that you're going to lose the locker room. And I think you're losing the locker room as time goes already. Now, I don't want to sit there and confirm, but you know, we've talked about it off the air. There's might be a couple of people who might not be thrilled right now. And you do have a responsibility to 52 other guys, and you don't want to lose that locker room. So I know that Kevin Stefanski's bought a lot of goodwill with us over the last 4 years, fans, but that can be lost in a short amount of time.
Boy,
with
really
players
short
in the locker room if, man, they don't believe you're doing what's necessary to help them win.
Yep.
So if this is just some sort of an issue where what he tells us could be completely different than what it is. I mean, he could look at them and go, guys, my hands are tied. Or it's just like, you know what? No, I'm making the decision. All right, well, you'll live and you'll go away with that decision. So that's some of the things that he has to take into account. But you have something different here. You wanted to examine. I made a joke. It drew my ire with Andrew Berry, the whole Cedric Tillman, the jet sweep on third down. You got bothered by it, and you said what about that said Tillman play on the jet sweep?
It was the first time in the Stefanski run where I looked at him like a bad Browns coach. He has been outside of the first game he coached. The first game he coached, they got blown out by the Ravens, if you remember that.
Yeah. 38-7, right?
Yeah. Outside of that, his teams have been, you know, so professional. You've had an edge in so many games with play calling. It's not a Cleveland homer saying that. That's people around the league. And so much so that with the Browns, when the Browns go to the playoffs, people outside of Cleveland go, whoa, what's going on there? Because what do people think about the Browns? What do people think traditionally about this team? And when Stefanski is the head coach, that has changed so much of that essence, of that reputation, until Sunday. Sunday, he looked like you could have plopped him in on the 0-16 team, the 1-15 team, the 3-13 team. Man, they have a bunch of those. Throwing a 4-12.
Yeah.
I mean, that is exactly what that play looked like.
He looked desperate.
Because it's not only that they run the sweep, and sometimes I don't even think that's the smartest guy in the room thing. I think sometimes you have a feel for your team and you see teams go to the outside when you're like, why don't you just run the ball up the middle? Oh, huge play on the outside. Then you love it, right?
Well, they ran that with Jarvis Landry several times back in the day. I mean, you know that.
They did, yes. In this case, you know, it's 3rd and 1. The quarterback sneak is not really in the repertoire for Deshaun Watson, right? You've got a quarterback that can't really do it. Unfortunately, you see what Philadelphia is able to do on their 3rd and 1s and 4th and 1s. They can be like 2.
Yeah.
Like they can get to like a little over 2 and still use that play. We don't have that. That's why they've brought Jameis Winston in the past. But then everybody knows what it's going to be, and it's going to become an easy play to stop, especially with who's your center? Who are your guards right now? I mean, that's part of the problem. With all that said, Cedric Tillman? Why? Why?
I don't know.
Of all the guys on your team,
I don't know.
What is it about it? And yeah, listen to Jonathan Vilma, who was on the call
of
the game.
Got to listen to Jonathan Vilma
on Fox.
Great.
And this will be stopped in the backfield as Cedric Tillman is tackled by, guess who? Mr. 200, Brandon Graham.
Yeah, great job, Brandon Graham. He gets that tackle for loss, but what a terrible call. Kevin Stefanski, everything had been north and south, and you're going to watch Brandon Graham reads this. It's too easy for him, right? No one blocks him. What are you expecting? He's 15 years in the league. He knows that play. He's seen it a million times. everything was downhill for the Browns offense. They were doing a good job with that. No point in having that fly sweep.
They had run the ball, audio courtesy of Fox. They had run the ball. This was one of the games. I know the final stats, it only ends up being like 4 yards per carry. They had gashed them on a number of plays. And on that play, he elects to go with that. Why?
It was a terrible call.
And why the player?
Because I think that...
I'm almost more concerned about the player that they chose to use.
I have no real explanation for it. And I have no real excuse for it. It was a terrible play call. And I think you're right. It does look like a bad old Browns coach when you make that decision.
But what
it feels
Cedric Tillman's career and body of work makes you think that that's the guy?
He doesn't have a body of work. That's why I almost got madder at Andrew Berry for it. I go, how do we have another third-round wide receiver that can't play? How do we have another third-round wide receiver that's as mobile as a cardboard box? How do we have another one of these guys? It's either a fast guy with no hands and no heart. It's either a slow guy
who can't move.
It's
that
either
situation.
An understate. Actually, yeah, because he'd at least been fast. Of course, he probably would have ran backwards.
True.
And then you got another guy who, I mean, he can't stay on the field because he's not healthy. He's undersized and he's not healthy. I mean, these are your third round wide receivers. And then the other guys you trade picks for. Elijah Moore is on the side of a milk carton, or he's hurt. Jerry Jeudy, that's a busted play. I don't have any reason to argue with Jerry Jeudy. And then Amari Cooper might be playing in his final three games here with the Cleveland Browns, and that's it. So it hasn't worked out. So I draw my ire with Andrew Berry, but I can't take everything out on Andrew Berry just because I'm frustrated with the Kevin Stefanski play. You are right. For the first time, he really looked like an overmatched Browns coach. Where and I've seen real bad coaching where it's disorganized. I thought it was organized. I just thought it was desperate and silly. It was a desperate, silly call.
And I mean, the Raiders.
Yes, you're right.
When the Raiders ran a play like that, it was DJ Turner, who was 5'9", he's a speedster. Like, he could do. Cedric Tillman is not that.
No.
There's nothing about. Of all the guys that you could have given that play to, wouldn't Cedric Tillman be towards the bottom?
Even if you had, if you had Jalen Darden going in motion, and I'll leave it with this. If you had Jalen Darden going in motion, you could get somebody to read that and you could open up the A game.
Yeah, there you go.
You could do something like that. You don't even have to hand that off. I wish I could disagree with you. I thought I was going to.
And
I can't.
Are a pro
it's
Stefanski.
Such a mind-boggling call.
Of a lot of the issues, we think Stefanski is definitely not the top, and we've been very supportive of him. It just didn't seem like it looked like that on Sunday.